As Rick Hummel sits on hold, I appreciate the anecdote. Commish, good morning.
Hi, boys.
Doug, the All-Star game last night, one for the ages. Ben Fredrickson, your cohort at Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com is here as well. And a Cardinal hadn't hit a home run in an All-Star game since 1974, so Yadier Molina does that. And then Carlos Martinez goes out there and throws 100 miles an hour four different times. Not a lot of representation from the Cardinals, but who the Cardinals had certainly had very good games.
Yeah, this was a very rare outing. They haven't had a winning pitcher since 1973 when Rick Wise was the starter and winner in a game in Kansas City. By the way, Rick Wise started an All-Star game before Steve Carlton did.
Really? As a Cardinal or as a Philly?
As anybody.
Really? I still don't like the trade, though.
No. Just saying.
Okay. And this was the same... when they played the All-Star game here in 66, 2-1 in 10 innings, only the National League won that one. Were you at that game?
I was not. I was not. I've found the play quite good last night. Of course, there was some money at stake for the winning team, which always seems to have a little incentive for the boys.
What was the cash? Pitching, what was the cash on the line?
Yeah, the pitching was terrific.
What was the cash on the line? But like,
I think the winners got $20,000. I believe the losers got maybe $10,000 or $15,000.
Yeah, that's worth making an effort.
Yeah.
You would think.
MVP got a Corvette. Nice car.
Little red Corvette. Is that Robinson Cano?
Yes.
And there you go. And then there wasn't much Cub representation, but the one who did serves up the yard work.
Yeah, he almost never gives up home runs. He gave up one earlier this season. I think he's given up like three in the last 3 years, but that was a hanger that Cano hit out. And it was very strange for the World Championship team to have an All-Star game manager and no players from that team on the All-Star team the succeeding year.
After they had the whole infield last season.
Yeah, and pitching too. They had Arrieta, and they had Fowler on the team. Fowler was hurt last year, but he was there.
Carlos Martinez wasn't out there for as long as we normally see him, but he certainly gave a good representation of himself. I think he hit, 100 miles an hour on his first four pitches?
Something like that, yeah. And, he was pitching at home, kind of. He lives down there. He's got a lot of family and friends from down there, and the people from the Dominican, I'm sure, that could afford to come over, came over. And he was all jazzed up now. The key is for him to throw like that, let's say, Sunday in Pittsburgh. Compared to the last two starts at home, which were against Scherzer and DeGrom, and were not very good.
What about Molina? And maybe this is a misread because he certainly had a good time at the All-Star game, but you see him play in the All-Star game, you see him play in the World Baseball Classic. It looks to me like he has almost has more fun in these games than he does going out there with the Cardinals every day. Can he bottle some of this and bring it back to St. Louis?
Yeah, maybe so. I was thinking about that. The Puerto Rican... You know, when he sees Lindor and Correa and anybody from that you play with at the World Classic, and when he was clearly the leader of that club, you know, he's like a player manager almost. They had a manager, but I don't even remember who it was. maybe with only 74 games to go, and if the team would play better, I think he's really going to be he's into it anyway, but he'll be more into it. You'll see him look like he'd be more into it, but. I think there could be a little carryover with that.
As an old school guy, what did you think of the interviews of the players between innings and talking to outfielders actually during the game? That any of that bother you?
Yeah, it all bothers me. But it's
me too, Commish.
Not like the game used to be. You know, it isn't like bragging rights for the leagues. A month from now, how many people remember who won the All-Star game? I don't know. But in the old days, you remembered it for years.
Why do you think that is? I really want to get your perspective. You've attended 38 straight All-Star games. And my theory is this, and I'm really curious where you are on this. Because Doug, do you agree with that? I can only speak to the 80s, and in the first half of the 90s is where I'm going to go with this. But it did feel like a huge deal.
Oh, yeah. Before that, it used to be my favorite TV show of the whole year.
Yeah, and I think... And I'm not saying it's the only reason, but I think one of the biggest reasons why it declined in significance to the viewer is interleague play. I suppose another one, if this were the Family Feud, this would be the second most popular answer, in my opinion anyway, is free agency led to guys playing in both leagues, and so it wasn't like, oh, sweet, you're seeing the Cardinals go up against Ricky Henderson of the Oakland A's. Like, I thought that was so cool back in the early 80s. I would see Ricky Henderson. I love the base running because of the Cardinals. And I'm like, oh, now they get to see Ricky Henderson. Well, now you see these guys, and they've played on both teams, and it's not that big of a deal. And, of course, you see the Cardinals play the Yankees and the Red Sox. So it's not as significant as it was pre-1997. Those are my thoughts. Why do you think it's – if you think it's declined, I don't want to suppose that you do think it's declined.
Yeah, no, I come down on the second part of what you just said there. The free agency has made it a lot easier for players to play with teams in both leagues. Before, when there was no free agency, you had to be traded to the other league or released and signed by somebody else. And secondly is that the managers in those days felt no obligation to get all the players in. Red Shanings has told me on a couple different occasions that he'd be at an All-Star game as a backup to Jackie Robinson at second base, and the manager of that team would say, Red, I don't think you're going to play today. Jackie's probably going to go all nine, you know. So, and then, you know, Red Shanings' finest hour in the All-Star game came like in the 14th inning of a game in White Sox Park there at Comiskey Park when he hit a home run to win the game. Well, he didn't come in the game till the 10th.
Yeah.
Isn't part of it, though, the culture, too? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that players kind of viewed themselves. It was all a competition. And frankly, you'd have guys who flat out didn't like each other. I think now there's more, it's not good or bad, but guys are all friends. I mean, everybody wants everybody to get paid. Everybody, you know, maybe plays in each other in the World Baseball Classic teams. There seems to be a friendlier atmosphere, which I think kind of dulls the competitive edge to some degree.
Well, you're right, man. And the players, you know, in the National League, for instance, in the heyday of the All-Star game for the National League was in the 70s. They used to win all the time. And Pete Rose would be on all those teams. And he would be up and down the dugout in the clubhouse exhorting his team, we got to beat these guys, whatever, and the players bought into that, you know. The energy was enormous. There's an energy at the All-Star game anyway, but you could feel that the National League really wanted to win those games. It wasn't, how many players were there? 64 players last night, and I don't know how many really cared about the outcome. It doesn't make any difference, but there was a different culture then, you're right.
And back then, as a fan, you didn't see very many games, and now you see a game every night, and you might see the other league play every night. Growing up as a kid, I never got to see the American League teams play. I mean, see the Cardinals maybe a couple times a month. That was about it. And now a game on TV, any game, is just not as big a deal as it once was.
Yeah, you see one game on Tuesday night, like this All-Star game, and maybe some games on Sunday. Yeah, you're right. That was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Richard Deitch, the Sports Illustrated media critic, say, is this going to be the year where the All-Star game is actually dwarfed in popularity / ratings by the Home Run Derby. And I don't know we of course don't know. Well, maybe the overnight numbers are out from Nielsen on Fox's broadcast last night. But I would wonder if that could happen. I enjoyed watching it last night. I hated, and I don't know where you were on this, Kamish. I'm certain we've discussed it over the years, but I hated that home field advantage in the World Series was determined by the All-Star game. I felt like it was an emotional overreaction to what happened in 2002 in Milwaukee, and also probably Fox behind the scenes saying, if we're going to spend this much money, we got to do something to get ratings up for it, when in reality that wasn't going to impact ratings either. But then you had the least important game between April and October determine where the most important game potentially would be played in October, and I just had a huge problem with that. So I liked seeing it go back to an exhibition.
Well, the home field advantage thing was often decided by players on teams that had no chance to qualify for the playoffs. You know, look at the guys that were in the game at the end of the game last night. Michael Conforto was struck out by the Mets player was struck out with the winning run on base in the ninth inning. Their Mets are not going to be in the playoffs, and there was guys from other teams that have no chance to be in the playoffs. You know, I'd rather see the home field advantage for the playoffs decided by which league has the better record in interleague play. Now, that's almost a moot point because the American League is going to win for the 14th year in a row. Well, the American League's also won the last five All-Star games too, but at least every player on every team would have a hand in deciding home field advantage.
Well, why do you think the American League's winning the interleague games?
Oh, I think these things are cyclical, but they have better players. They have better teams. I mean, the interleague plays 14 years in a row tells me they have a better league. You know, the National League has some nice clubs, They have two. They have Los Angeles and Washington. American League has, Houston has the best record of anybody, but there's a lot of good clubs in there that are better than some of the teams in the National League.
No reason for that other than just coincidental?
Well, I think you got, over the years, some of these teams have had maybe more money to spend or smarter management or a combination thereof. It is hard to put your finger on it. Way back when, the National League was the first one to integrate, so that in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, especially in the 70s, the National League just had more superstar players. And then the American League got serious about it, and they got tired of losing All-Star games, and they got tired of losing World Series, and the pendulum changed a little bit.
38 straight All-Star games. Has anybody got you beat on that?
As far as covering the games, I would say no. I know Peter Gammons was there doing a lot of TV last night, and he's been at more than I have. I'm not sure about successive games because Peter was ill there for a better part of a year, maybe 10, 12 years ago. But he'd be the one, I think, that would maybe have been at more. But as far as cover from a newspaper standpoint, I think I'm at the top.
How about that, Doug? 38 straight All-Star games.
Maybe that'll get you into the Hall of Fame someday.
Someday, maybe, yeah.
Nice. Commissioner, now that the All-Star game is in the books, naturally the discussion will turn to the Mike and Mike 30 for 30, and then after that to the second half baseball season. And the question I posed on Twitter and on our fan page on Facebook, was twofold. Doug, do you like that when it's two?
I don't really like twofold.
The first question was, should the Cardinals be buyers or sellers this trade deadline season? And then the second question was, what probability would you give to the Cardinals being in the NLCS, not NLDS, NLCS in 2017, and gave people the option of 40% or better, 20% or better, 5% or better, or less than 5%. Less than 5% won by a comfortable margin. Second was 5% or better. And about 22% of voters total had 20% or above. And then 55% of about 3,200 respondents said the Cardinals should be sellers. Where do you come in on those two questions, sir?
Well, first of all, when you make a trade, unless you actually do sell a guy to some other teams, you're buying and selling every time you make a transaction. So you're both when you make do something.
I suppose, I think when people think of selling, though, now, and I think this is where the voters were, but I could be wrong because you may be right, that they're thinking, okay, you're essentially, like, for example, if they trade Lance Lynn for minor league prospects, I think that would be, in 2017, a sell, so to speak.
But they don't need any. The Cardinals have plenty of minor league prospects. That's one thing they don't need. They're loaded there. They're tied with the Cubs. I'm going to go back to that until they're not tied with them or until they're way behind them. Milwaukee has had an excellent first half, but they have a schedule situation in the second half. For instance, they have not played Washington at all. That's seven games with Washington they have. Cardinals are done with Washington. Milwaukee has to go to Los Angeles to play three games, and he almost never went out there, and the Cardinals are done playing Los Angeles too. So keep an eye on those 10 games. The Cubs will help themselves, and so will the Cardinals. It doesn't matter what your record is. If they're going to pitch like as they have recently, if Martinez is going to throw like that the second half of the year, and Waka throws as he's been, and Lynn and Leek throw as they've been, and Wainwright is on the pace for 18 or 19 wins, their rotation is better than anybody's in the division by a lot. By a lot. Milwaukee would be second. And when you have a rotation, you're getting your bullpen squared away with Cecil. It's pitched tremendously the last 6 weeks. Owen Rosenthal were better. Segrist and Duke will be back at some point. If they just play a little bit better in the field and run the bases a little bit better, there's no reason why they shouldn't contend. I'm not sure that the 40% would be my number, but not too far from that as far as winning the division, because like Jay Randolph said about horse racing, there's always a winner in every race.
Watching that All-Star game last night reinforced the thinking to me that it's all about pitching. You line up the greatest hitters in the game, many of them having career years, but if the pitching is good enough, they don't get much done. And I know the Cardinals need a middle-of-the-order hitter, love to have one, but if you can solidify the pitching, you got a shot every night.
You don't see many more bad swings than you saw in an All-Star game. Doug, you're exactly right about that. Some of the hitters really had no chance, and those are good hitters. But you put out a guy that, you know, let's say, how many guys have actually seen Carlos Martinez pitch, for instance, before in the American League? I would say not all that many, because he's only been up 4 or 5 years. How many interleague games has he pitched? Maybe 10 in that time. So that was impressive. And vice versa for the National League guys trying to hit the American League pitchers. You bring in a Kimbrel and Andrew Miller, the last two innings, even though Kimbrel had struggled with his control a little bit, those are hard guys to deal with.
Commission, if you rank your list of things the Cardinals are going to need to win this division, what's at the top? Is it a bat? Is it relief help? What are you looking to do if you're Gersh and Moe?
I think you look at any area. I mean, where's this bat going to play, first of all? And who's to say? It's a little bit of a long shot that Luke Voit is not that bat. That they're going to try that for another, I would say, 10 or 12 days. He's going to play a lot. They'll have to decide this in the next couple of weeks, whether he's the guy or not. But I found it interesting that Mike Leake brought that point up the other day. He says, we got this guy. Maybe he's the guy. Josh Donaldson's name comes up because Toronto's got a bunch of guys they're going to try to get rid of. Well, Josh Donaldson plays third base, but has he played third base and hit better than Jed Jerko this year? Well, no, he has not. And maybe he's the kind of guy that adds some cachet to your order. He's got a reputation of being a great player. You know, he's an MVP player and many-time All-Star and so forth. But they have guys at all these positions. You'd have to make a move. Maybe even in the outfield, you could probably use a little help. But you have guys you're committed to contractually, and Piscotty and Fowler for 5 years. You don't want to give away Grichuk, and you got Tommy Pham, who's been your best player for 2 months. It's a hard call. And there's a shortstop. How many guys got the teams have shortstops that come up and have hit 22 home runs for the season, 9 in the big leagues and 13 in the minors? Well, not very many.
When teams call the Cardinals wanting to make a trade, who would you say are the Cardinal untouchables, the guys that they would absolutely not trade for anything?
Martinez, probably. Molina, because he's a franchise player. They want him to end his career there. Sierra would not be touchable. Reyes, injured Reyes, but still not touchable. Jack Flaherty, probably not. After that, I think when you're 43-45, which is not a good record, you can't have too many untouchables because you haven't been very good for the first half. But there's guys that teams would like to have, I think, that could be had, like in Rosenthal or Lynn, especially because he's a free agent. I'm sure Waka would appeal to a lot of teams because he looks like his arm is all right now. And then, they'd want the guys we previously mentioned there. So they have a lot of people teams will talk about. And Ben brought up something. You could always use relief help, too. You never have enough pitching. They have a capability of having a good bullpen, but for the most part, the bullpen's just been okay the first half.
If Voit is that guy and that bat doesn't cool off, how do they make that work? Because you've got Colton Wong back. You've won a lot more games than you've lost when Colton Wong is starting at second base. Matt Carpenter's got to go somewhere. How do you sort that out?
Well, I think I platoon at the beginning there. Voit would play against the left-handers, and Wong would play against the right-handers, and then you and Carpenter could use a day off now, or could appear at third base even. If he says he has no qualms about playing other positions, we might see him turn up at third base too, where he's played most of his career with the Cardinals.
All right, and you think they will pull the trigger, or do you think that they might just kind of ride it out for a while longer with what they've got?
I think they'll ride it out for a while longer on this trip, a 10-game trip, and then to some extent the homestand with Colorado and Arizona before the trading deadline of July 31st, August 1st. They'll have to do something because this team clearly was not good enough in the first half, but there's parts that are returning in Wong, for instance, and then Segrist, and Fowler has already returned. So you kind of see what's out there and what you have to give up.
What do you make of Fowler's comments about not wanting to move from center? Because I guess watching the season, it seems like Pham is your best bet. defensively in center, but I know that Dexter's also hasn't been fully healthy. Do you think that eventually we see that shift, or are they just going to plant Fowler in center because that's where he wants to play, and they feel like it upsets the apple cart too much if he is asked to shift?
Well, I think Mike's going to have to keep an eye on this and watch Fowler play for a while. Now, this trip is offers some interesting perspectives because Pittsburgh is a big outfield, and New York is a big outfield, and Chicago isn't. So he can play center field fine in Chicago, I'm sure, because he did last year and the year before that. You have to make your best defense go here. That's one of the reasons why they're in this spot they're in, because their defense has been good enough. You have to tell Fowler that, look, I don't think you're moving quite as well, if that's the case. And we're going to put you in left field till your foot feels better, your leg feels better, and we go with Pham. Or I think even Grichuk's a better center fielder than Fowler.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Commish, we always appreciate it, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Rick Hummel with us here on the radio program, an accidental bell ring.